कुंज बिहारी कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गिरधर श्रीवासद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम सुंदर राधा कुंद गिरी गोप जान की जय। संतराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। औगवेश्वरी समुद्र की औगवेश्वरी समुद्र की ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 5 नारद's इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट 26 तत्रान्वहं कृष्णकथा प्रकायताम् तत्रान्वहं कृष्णकथा प्रकायताम् अनुग्रहेणाश्रुणवन् मनोहरा ताश्वाध्याया मेनुपदं विशृण्वता
ताश्वाध्याया मेनुपदं विशृण्वता
priyastra vasyanga mama bhavaduti. Atrambaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam.
Atrambaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam.
Anugrahena Srinavam Manohara.
Anugrahena Srinavam Manohara.
Sasradhaya me nupadam vishinvata. Priyasavasyanga mama bhavaduti.
Priyasavasyanga mama
bhavaduti. Tatram vaham Krishna kata pragayatam.
Tatram vaham Krishna kata pragayatam.
Anugrahena shrinavam manohara.
Anugrahena shrinavam manohara.
Tasadhaya me nupadam vishrinvata. Priyasravasyanga mama bhavaduti.
Priyasravasyanga mama bhavaduti.
Word meanings, tatra thereupon, anu every day, aham, I, Krishna kata, narration of Lord Krishna's activities. Pragayatam, describing. Anugrahena, by causeless mercy. Ashrinvam, giving oral reception. Manahara, attractive. Tados, Shraddhaya, respectfully, may, unto me, anupadam, every step. Vishrinvataha, hearing attentively. Priya Shravasi, of the personality of Godhead. Anga, O Vyasadeva, mama mind abhavat, it so became ruchihi, taste. Translation, O Vyasadeva, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. Om Gyanatim Randhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milikamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So a few points before I read the purport. I want to mention a few of the words in the word for word here. There's a phrase, Manahara. Prabhupada translates it as attractive. The literal meaning is that which steals the mind. Mana, hara. Hara is like hari. It takes away. So mana hara takes away our mind. What are we talking about? Krishna katha has that power. Shraddhaya, respectfully, with faith also you could say. And another interesting word, priyasravasi. Prabhupada translates it as of the personality of Godhead. But if we take apart the two words, priya and shravasi, priya means dear and shravasi means famous. And another word here, anga. Anga is a word, it doesn't, of course, here Prabhupada translates it as Vyasadeva. This word comes up a lot in the Bhagavatam, actually. When someone is being addressed, they're often addressed as Anga. And Prabhupada usually translates it just as the person's name, like O Vyasadeva or O Vidura or O Maitreya, like that. Or not. Usually it's a subordinate that's being referred to. And it means dear one, something like that. Of course, Anga means a limb, so we can say it's like one who is so close to someone. You have such affection for the person, they're like a part of you. So O Vyasadeva, O Anga. And of course, ruchi means taste. I find interesting in verse, now when this began, when these sages were introduced, the word that's used to describe them, they're called Vedavadis. Let's see, what is the word? Yes, Vedavadinam. Vedavadinam means those who speak the Vedas or whose business is the Vedas. The Prabhupada, and then in another verse, in the next verse, they're called Munaya, the sages, and in another verse, they're called Dvija. But in the two previous purports that we just read, Prabhupada refers to them as Bhakti Vedantas. That word doesn't actually appear in either of these verses, in any of these verses describing them. The closest thing is Vedavadinam. So they're Vedantists. He also translates it that they're Vedantists, but Prabhupada wants to emphasize that they're Bhakti Vedantists. They're not ordinary impersonalist Vedantists, as many of the Vedantists are today, and they have been often in the past. Followers of Vedanta, Prabhupada calls them the Bhakti Vedanta. So the purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is attractive not only in His personal features, but also in His transcendental activities. It is so because the Absolute is absolute. By His name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. So a little something about that. Prabhupada, of course, is referring to. Narada Muni is saying that I was attracted, I was listening to these Bhakti Vedantas talking Krishna Katha, and I was very attracted to that. So Prabhupada is saying here, not only is Krishna very beautiful, sometimes we may think, well, Krishna is beautiful. Krishna is very attractive. His form is very attractive. So here Prabhupada is saying, well, not just His form, but everything related to Him is also very attractive. Name, form, what is the list He has here? Is name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia. There's a verse, I'm not sure where it's from. Nam, Rupa, Guna, Lila, Parikar Vaishishta, which means that these things are all one. They're all part of Krishna's unique personality, His name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and so on. All of these things are non-different from Krishna. Just as Krishna is unique, all of these things are uniquely part of Him, you can say. They're part of His actual being, all of these things. There's no difference between Krishna and His name, His fame, His form, His pastime. So that's why Krishna Katha, which is just talk about Him, is as powerful as Krishna Himself and as attractive as Krishna Himself. Of course, we see Narada Muni, he's just a young boy, he's immediately attracted. We see this here, the word is ruchi. He has a taste for that. Actually, there's something by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, he says something about this. He says, Shraddha here, because it says Shraddhaya, which probably translates as respectfully. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he often writes from a rusic point of view. Especially Prabhupada says he often writes from the point of view of the conjugal rasa, Madhurya. But here he says, Shraddha here indicates the tenth stage, asakti. So, you know, we have ado, shraddha, tatu sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, and so on. So the tenth stage is called asakti. That's what he says that this shraddhaya refers to here, that I heard respectfully. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it actually means asakti. He had, what is asakti? Asakti means attachment. He had great attachment to hearing. Actually, we hear that when the sages left, he was very heartbroken, really. He was really sorry to see them leave. He served them for 4 months of the rainy season. So when they left, he was very attached to them. Shortly after that, his mother dies, and then he takes off to see the world. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, at every moment or at hearing every word, I developed rati, and in parentheses, bhava, for Krishna, whose qualities are pleasing to hear, Priya Shravasi. Ruchi should here mean Ruti, the 11th stage, since the stage of Ruchi has already been mentioned in the previous verse. So we see what level Narada Muni is on when he's hearing these and why he has such attachment. He's exhibiting the qualities of someone who's on the stage of Ruti. Ruti is a synonym for Bhava. In the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami often uses the word Ruti to mean Bhava. They're used interchangeably. So these three stages are mentioned here, Asakti and Ruchi and Bhava. This is the stage that Narada Muni is in as a young boy. And we can understand why he's so attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, because he's on such an elevated stage. So continuing Prabhupada's purport, the Lord descends on this material world out of his causeless mercy and displays his various transcendental pastimes as a human being, so that human beings attracted towards him become able to go back to Godhead. This is another important point. This also comes up in the prayers of the personified Vedas, where it's mentioned that, I think it's there in that context, one of the prayers, that, well, people want to see God, so fortunately, God himself actually comes. He makes it possible for people to understand him by actually coming before them and revealing himself to them. So he does this just out of his mercy, because he wants to inspire the jivas in this material world to want to go back to Godhead. So when he comes, they become attracted to him. So again, going back to the first point in this purport, not only are they attracted by his beauty, that's something we hear a lot about, of course, in Krishna's different avatars, how beautiful they are. Even avatars that we would think would not ordinarily be beautiful, like Lord Varaha, it's described how beautiful he was. He was extremely attractive, very beautiful with his reddish hair and so on. So he was very attractive. And it's described in Kunti's prayer. Kunti Devi's prayer is one of the things that she says that people say you appeared for different reasons. And one of the reasons is that you came to revitalize the process of hearing Krishna Katha, basically. Because when Krishna comes, then he performs pastimes, and then those pastimes are spoken of for forever, basically. I was just in a discussion about Lord Ramchandra. Someone was mentioning something, because there's some, you know, there's always some talk about whether that bridge to Lanka that connects Sri Lanka to India, is it actually Lord Ram's bridge and so on. And there was some discussion of how long ago, if it was in Treta Yuga, it was like a million years ago. But actually, in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says that Lord Ram came in the 24th millennium, and now we're in the 28th, so it's more like 10 million years ago. And there are a couple of other references to this. Some devotee was brought up, I forget that, maybe it's in the Vishnu Purana, another Purana also, this is also mentioned, that apparently where Rupa Goswami get this from. So 10 million years ago, the earth could have changed quite a bit by then. So in any case, my point was, if Ram came 10 million years ago, and now we're still talking about it, 10 million years later, that's how powerful his activities are. We often hear in the Bhagavatam that kings, they're so protective of their reputation and their fame. They even someone like Jarasandha, he doesn't want to be, or even Kamsa, he'll do any horrendous, atrocious thing, killing babies and so on, but he wants to have a good reputation to live on after him. What is that? Kirti Yashya Jivati, I think it's something like that. It says one who has fame lives on forever, basically. So what to speak of Krishna when he comes, or Krishna's incarnations when they come. They appear and they're so attractive that many people are attracted, of course. And their incarnations are recorded in the scriptures. Krishna's incarnations are recorded in the scriptures. And they're so attractive that katha, that it lives on eternally. course, it also lives on because it is Krishna. It is eternal. It's not just today's news, here today, gone tomorrow, but it has eternal value. And just by its constitution, you could say, ontologically, according to what it is, because it's spiritual, then it can live on eternally. So continue the purport. Men are naturally apt to hear histories and narrations of various personalities performing mundane activities without knowing that by such association, one simply wastes valuable time and also becomes addicted to the three qualities of material nature. So we're hearing the positive side, how wonderful Krishna Katha is. Now we're hearing the negative side, Prabhupada is pointing out. It's interesting that he says, now we're hearing them, and then in the same sentence he says, by such association one simply wastes valuable time. So that's considered association. We're supposed to be enthusiastic about satsanga and not asatsanga. One of the things we're supposed to, that's considered detrimental to advancement in Krishna consciousness, listed by Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, is the association of non-devotees. So here Prabhupada is saying, by hearing about them, you're associating with them. And what is that? What is the result? He says, not only it wastes valuable time, and one also becomes addicted to the three qualities of mundane nature. In other words, you become caught up in it. What is addiction? You're caught up, you can't give it up. So we get caught up in the modes of material nature by hearing mundane things. Actually, there are so many verses. I was looking up, when I first saw this, I said, oh, this is about hearing. And I went on the database, and I tried a few different, I searched only in the translations, in the Bhagavatam, only the translations in the Bhagavatam, for hear, hearing, and hears, I think it was. And there were hundreds, 200 or 300 of each one of those, just in the verses of the Bhagavatam. So hundreds, many hundreds of verses mention hearing, how important it is to hear and the results of hearing. Of course, Pariksit Maharaj, he often mentions, and others who are hearing, like Shomika Rishi, they're encouraging the speaker to go on because they want to hear. And also at the end of many of the Leelas, it describes how, what is the result, the Pala Shruti, what is the result of hearing, what is the fruit of hearing this particular pastime. So it's emphasized so much in the Srimad Bhagavatam how important it is to hear Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada says, instead of wasting time, one can get spiritual success by turning his attention to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. By hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Lord, one contacts directly the personality of Godhead. And as explained before, by hearing about the personality of Godhead, from within, all accumulated sins of the mundane creature are cleared. So that sound vibration of Krishna Katha is, well, it's just like chanting, we know, chanting the holy name of Krishna. We're in Krishna's association. So hearing Krishna Katha also puts us into Krishna's association, and it destroys the sins. Just like it's said about the sadhus, they're like places of pilgrimage. So Krishna also, Tirtha Pada, his lotus feet are places of pilgrimage. Anything related to him is like a place of pilgrimage. And what happens when you go to a place of pilgrimage, you become purified of your sins. So Krishna Katha also has that power of purifying us of our sins. All accumulated sins of the mundane creature are cleared, Prabhupada said. So continuing, thus being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. So those of us who are not naturally attracted to Krishna Katha, if we repeatedly hear, then we become more and more purified. I'll continue this point. Narada Muni, a prophet says, Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. Actually, he said after a few days only, I was getting such a taste. And Prabhupada says, the whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. So this is basically Prabhupada is paraphrasing. As Prabhupada often did in the early cantos, it seems like he's referring to the verse Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Pridyantastolya Badrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. So when one has enthusiasm for hearing Krishna Katha, then Krishna, who's in the heart, he responds to that by purifying the heart. And then one gets a taste. One gets a taste for hearing Krishna Katha. Then Prabhupada says, Narada Muni has eternal... Of course, this is pretty amazing. Just by hearing Krishna Katha, you can become an associate of Krishna. Narada Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss. And he could travel all over the material and spiritual worlds without restriction. So Narada is already a liberated soul, so he has uncovered or discovered or recovered his Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss. One can attain to the highest perfection, Prabhupada says, of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources, as Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, Bhakti Vedantas, in his previous life. So again, in the three purports in a row, Prabhupada is using this phrase, Bhakti Vedantas. So, of course, Prabhupada has often always stressed this point. You have to hear from the pure devotees, from the right sources, as he says here. Otherwise, hearing has a poisonous effect. So finally, this process of hearing in the association of devotees is especially recommended in this age of Kali, age of quarrel, Kali. Because what else can we do? We're not qualified to execute great austerities and so on. Now, of course, we say Lord Chaitanya came to give the holy name, to emphasize Sankirtan. But Sankirtan includes hearing. I often think of this in the process of devotional service. Sometimes it's not that each one of these stands alone. They often become kind of mixed up together. Just like serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Well, obviously that's going to include hearing and chanting. If you're worshiping the deity, you're going to be chanting mantras and you're going to be hearing these mantras. And especially in relationship to chanting, hearing has to be there. There's no such thing really as chanting that's actual chanting, beneficial chanting that doesn't include hearing. So when Lord Chaitanya came to give us the chanting of the holy names, you can say he also gave us the hearing of the holy name. These things go together. So this is... Of course, this chapter is called Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Prabhupada mentioned in an earlier verse, the verse about how these words can revolutionize people's sinful lives. And Prabhupada mentions about Narada Muni kindly appearing in this chapter. So this is where Narada Muni appears in the Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni, of course, he's such a central character. Now we're hearing about, in his present life, he's talking about his previous life. So in his present life, or as we know Narada Muni, he's such an exalted soul. And he plays such an important role in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a purport in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita where Narada is mentioned, because the different avatars of Krishna are mentioned in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami, he summarizes... Basically, in some ways, he's summarizing the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihad means great, and Laghu means light. So it's a shorter version. It's presenting the teachings of Sanatana Goswami, his older brother, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Narada Muni, he's introduced in one verse there in chapter 3 of the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It says, manifesting... Well, Narada is mentioned in the previous verse. Narada is described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. In the millennium of the Rishis, the personality of Godhead accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who was a great sage among the demigods. He spoke expositions of the Vedas which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. So Narada is, he's giving bhakti shastras. So that's text 5 of the chapter 3 of Lagu Bhagavatamrita. And text 6, it mentions Lord Brahma, but in the purport, it talks about Narada Muni, and there's more than two pages in the purport that simply lists all of the appearances of Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just read a little bit of it, just so you get a sense of it. Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, this is his purport, his commentary. Narada appears frequently in Srimad Bhagavatam, most often in the role of instructing spiritual master and divine messenger. By the way, before it slips my mind, I just want to mention this. He's mentioned in the verse that I quoted from the Bhagavatam as an empowered incarnation, so Shakti Avesh Avatar. And I was just listening to a lecture with Prabhupada, 26 Second Avenue, where he was speaking on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sanatana Goswami is instructing, or Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami. So in that section, Lord Chaitanya is introducing all of the kinds of avatars. So when he mentions Shaktyavesh Avatar, in Prabhupada's lecture on that, he said that the Maha Mantra is a Shaktyavesh Avatar. I thought that was interesting. I never heard it explained that way. Because usually we think of Shaktyavesh Avatar as sort of a lower category of avatar. But of course, there are two categories of Shaktyavesh Avatar. One is, you can say, partially empowered. And what is Bhagavata Vesh, which means fully empowered by Krishna. Now this question sometimes comes up because it says in the Chikshastikam, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nidya Sarva Shaktis. I know Madan Mohan has asked about this before. Why does it say that Krishna invests his potencies in his name? It sounds like his name doesn't have his potencies unless Krishna puts them there. So I think it's just a manner of speaking. I don't think we have to get too hung up on the technicalities of it. But still, Prabhupada does use this term. He says that the Maha Mantra is Shakti Avesh. Now, of course, as I was saying, that has all of Krishna's potencies, because it is Krishna himself. In any case, so now here Gopi Pranadana Prabhu says, he goes through this list of Narada's appearances. I'll just read a little bit of it. Narada advised Dvaipaina Veda Vyas to compile the Bhagavatam, which of course is what we're reading now. That's in chapters 5 and 6 of this canto. He consoled Yudhishthira when Dhritarashtra left home. So he's always showing up all over the place. And he warned Dhritarashtra that Krishna was about to finish his pastime. He was also present when Shukadeva spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit. He inquired from his father Brahma about the Supreme Creator. That's in the second canto. He revealed to Hiranyaksha where to find. So the second canto, that Narada plays an important role there, because Lord Brahma is speaking so many things. Actually, it has 180 verses, I think, something like that, which is sort of a condensed Bhagavatam. He speaks to Narada, Lord Brahma. He told Devahuti about Kardama Muni's good qualities. So we even see Narada Muni as a marriage maker. This comes up in the Bhagavatam. So he told Devahuti about Kardama Muni's good qualities and informed Lord Shiva about his wife Sati's suicide. He preached to Dhruva and to Dhruva's father, Uttanapada, and he praised Dhruva in the assembly of the Prachetas. He enlightened King Prachinabharhi with the story of Paranjan, instructed the Prachetas on how to attain the Supreme, and became the spiritual master of Priyavrata. So now we're in the fifth canto. He taught the principles of the Narada Pancharatra to Savarni Muni, and always sings Lord Ananta's glories in Brahma's assembly. That's mentioned in the fifth canto in the chapter called The Glories of Lord Ananta. So it goes on. I just read two paragraphs. There's about 10 or 12 more of them describing Narada. He comes up all over the place in the tenth canto. So Narada is such an important personality. When I read this, I was thinking, well, that we can understand now why Sanatana Goswami made Narada Muni a central character in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about Narada Muni traveling all over the place. Because what is Brihad Bhagavatamrita? It's the nectar of the Bhagavatam, or the essence of the Bhagavatam. So because Narada Muni is a kind of a central thread, you might say, that holds the narrative together. I was thinking if one were writing a book, there are certain features of writing a novel, for example. So sometimes you have something that you write into the story that's there all the way through, a thread that holds it together. So part of the thread of the Bhagavatam, one of the main characters of the Bhagavatam, is certainly Narada Muni. He helps keep the narrative flowing. He actually does this. He moves things from one scene to another. Narada Muni arrives there, or he tells this person about this person or this activity and so on. So he helps the thing move forward. He helps the narrative move forward. So it makes sense that Sanatana Goswami would use him as a character, the main character, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is all about the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop here, and here's I'll read the verse and the translation again. Tatranvaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam Anugrahinashrinavam Manohara Tashradhaya Me Nupadam Vishrinbata Priyashravasyanga Mamabhavadruchihi. O Vyasadeva, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, and thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. There's actually a grammatical mistake here. I'll have to check and see if it's been fixed. Called a dangling participle, if you're interested.
We have more than 50 devotees watching. So if you have any question, comment, you can type it on the chat room, I can see, and you can relate to the Nagaraj Prabhu. Or you can text me at 352-221-0041. I have a question before. So it seems like as you are reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, that Ruchi means what I'm understanding, maybe the Ruchi is a stage in the progression of Rupa Goswami Pad's devotional principle that he gave. Also, Ruchi is a component in different stages.
Yes. No, that's true. Words are often used in a very technical sense, and sometimes they're used in a more general way. So, in fact, I was just reading recently maybe it was in a previous class that I gave in Vishwanath's commentary, where he said that even in the beginning of devotional service, there's some taste, there's some ruchi. So we talk about ruchi as an advanced stage where you really have a taste, it's such a taste that you just can't give it up. You can say this is really where you begin raga nuga, where you begin, you're just impelled to go on, you can't give it up. But even in the beginning, there's some taste. In fact, he translates, Vishwanath translates Shraddha as Asakti. Because we also think, well, Shraddha, Ado Shraddha, that's where the whole thing begins, Shraddha. So even there, that word is sometimes translated differently. We generally think of it as initial faith. But sometimes it means just simply a little curiosity. A little curiosity gets you going, gets you started, and you associate with devotees. You don't really have much faith until you hear. You have enough faith that, well, let me hear something. But this is an advanced faith. This is more like naishtiki bhakti, firm faith. Or as he says here, shraddha, he says it's asakti. So we can see how the words can be applied in different ways. So, anything there?
There's also in Chaitanya Chaitanya Madhulila, I forgot the exact number, it says, Nishtha Hoite Sravanate Ruchi Upaja. And the Parker Prabhupada put a sentence, seems like, that one has to take a vow that he will hear the topics of Krishna every day, then the taste will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if somebody complains, or those are listening, why we don't feel taste? Well, you haven't seriously probably listened.
Yeah, every day. Anudinam. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapya Vidya. That verse in Upadeshamrita, says one has to chant. There it's talked about chanting, but hearing and chanting, as I said, go together. Because we're diseased, so we have to take the medicine every day. One thing I find interesting is sometimes we say, of course it's an important point in our philosophy, that we're supposed to be aspiring to serve Krishna, not to enjoy Krishna, but to serve Krishna. But we actually find all over the place, I think I may have made this point before, that we're encouraged to taste. So what is tasting? It's the kind of enjoyment. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. This comes up in the first chapter of this canto. That one, when one has a taste, one wants to enjoy that taste over and over again. And in the prayers to the spiritual master, patikshana swadana lolupasya, he's always eager to taste that over and over again. So you might think, well, isn't that the desire to enjoy? But no, I think this is the kind of thing where Prabhupada could say, well, it's just natural. Just like Prabhupada says, there's nothing wrong with Krishna favoring his devotees because it's natural. So there's nothing wrong with hankering for tasting, because once one has a taste, there's no abolishing it. There's no wiping that taste away, that hankering for that taste, to get it over and over again. So, and it's also a kind of enticement for us to practice Krishna consciousness. Oh, you want to be happy in this world, you want to enjoy, you want to have a taste. So here we'll give you the higher taste. We call our cookbook a higher taste. But that's okay. That inspires us on to get more and more. In fact, it's endless, because there's a newer Nava Nava Rasa Daman Yudita Marantamasi. Yamunacharya says, I get a new taste at every moment since I've been serving Krishna. So that's natural. But it has to be earned by steady practice.
This is from Henry. Thank you for a wonderful class. This is another comment. This is from Madhav Swaha. Question for Nagaraj. Oh, it's a comment. When I read this verse yesterday, I too noticed the word Priya Shabashi. So you mentioned famous, and because one becomes famous by hearing, and hence the hearing is mentioned so much in Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, I looked this up in the Sanskrit dictionary, because when I was reading, I think Prabhupada makes some mention of it, and he talks about it slightly differently. Because this word, as many words, Sanskrit words, it has something to do with shravana also. It has a connection with shravana, or hearing. And it's also being a bit translated as fame. So you might think, well, these are two completely different things, hearing and fame. But they aren't really, when you think about it, hearing and fame. Because when someone is famous, then they're heard about everywhere. Or people want to hear about them. So you can see there's this kind of connection in the meaning. And of course, Priya means dear. So but Prabhupada just translates it as the personality of Godhead. So it's sort of like a pronoun, you might say. Instead of saying he, he'll say the personality of Godhead. But here, I forget what Prabhupada says. I don't want to keep looking through the purport to try to find it, but he says something like that.
Another question from Mother Sukada. Did Gopi Paranadana Prabhu finish translating Loga Bhagavatamrita? Is it printed?
Loga Bhagavatamrita? Yes, I have it right here.
How can she get it?
I assume it. Well, it's available somewhere. I don't know. Maybe Krishna.com has it. I'm not sure if they have it.
Okay, there's the answer.
It was published.
You can call Nagaraj Prabhu, he'll tell you.
Yeah, it was published in 2016. It was printed, actually, there's a division of the BBT in India. Now, this one says the Bhaktivedanta Book Plus, but there's another one called, is it Govardhan Publishing or Giriraj Publishing? I should know, because I've edited books for them. And anyway, they're in the process of publishing the Bhagavat Sandarbha and Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Those are divisions of the BBT, but this was published. This actually has on the spine the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.
Another question from Mother Mahavishnu. Just by hearing, one can become an associate of the Lord. So this is the gift after many lifetimes in Krishna consciousness, I assume, right?
Generally, that's the way it works. When I was editing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I came across a verse. It was quoted from the Padma Purana. And it said, I forget, there was some reward for a devotee who had been chanted the names of Vasudeva for many lifetimes. And I thought, gee, if you've been chanting the names of Vasudeva for many lifetimes, you'd think that you would have gone back to Godhead by now. But in the purport, I forget, one of the commentators, either Vishwanath or Jiva Goswami, says that Krishna sometimes keeps the devotee in the material world for a very long time because he just wants to increase his eagerness to attain him. So the point is that Prabhupada would say you can do it in one lifetime, but we should have the mood that even if it takes millions of lifetimes, I'm not going to give up. That kind of enthusiasm and desire shows Krishna that we really want it, because that's tatraloyamapi mulam ekalam. There's only one price to pay for getting Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati, for getting Krishna consciousness or Krishna prema, and that's the desire, the intense desire for it. So we may think, boy, I don't know, if I can't make it in one lifetime, maybe I'm going to give up. If we hear, oh, it's going to take you a million of lifetimes to go back to Godhead, say, well, boy, that sounds like too much. But we have to have that kind of desire. Because in one sense you can say, well, what else is there? You're going to stay here in this material world? You might as well just work for it lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, because that's the goal. Otherwise, stay here suffering in this material world. What's the point? And the goal is to be with Krishna. It's not a cheap thing, as Prabhupada would say so many times. It is not a cheap thing to be with God. That's not so. We have to be willing. We hope that we can do it in one life, but we have to be willing to wait many lives, if that's what it takes.
Another question from Mother Srivindavan. Just by eating the remnants of the Bhakti Vedantas only once, Narad Muni says all his sins were eradicated. How do we understand that? That's amazing. I need your comment.
Well, usually the way it's explained is the same thing happens for us. Devotees, as soon as we chanted Hare Krishna, all our sins were wiped away. This is explained actually in the Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Ajamya. There are verses that are quoted there. By chanting one name of Krishna, you can wash away more sins than you can commit in many lives, millions of lifetimes. Actually, the verse says, by chanting the name Narayana, Ajamya was cleansed of the sins of millions of lifetimes. Of course, one implication of that is that we have karma going back millions of lifetimes. That's the situation that we're in. That means we have millions of lifetimes ahead of us just because of all the backed up karma that we have from the power of those sins. So by chanting, because as soon as you chant Krishna's name, then you're really not, it's not karma anymore. Your sins are washed away and then Krishna takes over. That's one way to look at it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains it like that. It's not really your karma. Or Krishna can take your karma and do with it as he wants. But the devotee's meditation is, I think of this sometimes actually, sometimes we meditate on things we're supposed to see things in a certain way, whereas technically they may unfold somewhat differently. Just like this idea that Krishna always gives protection. But sometimes we see that Krishna doesn't seem to give protection. Devotees die in accidents and different things, but we're supposed to think Krishna will always protect me. So what is the point there? The point is, we have to develop that mood. We shouldn't let the doubts come in. Oh, what about this? What about that? Second guessing it. No. That's the point of it is, what is in our heart, how we feel. Yes, Krishna. That's one of the principles of surrender, is to think that Krishna will always protect me. So we should have that faith. And Krishna can do whatever he wants because he's completely independent. Of course, Krishna does reciprocate with his devotees. That's another thing. Anyway, getting back to the point, this is the basic idea. Not only Narada Muni, but even us. As soon as we take Mahaprasadam or chant the holy name, we're cleansed of all sins. Well, we were when we first did it. Now we're under Krishna's protection. So that's at least one perspective on it.
One more from Akhilananda Prabhu from Ohio. So Srila Prabhupada was giving us a preview of the highest taste with the Krishna book, 10th Canto, even though we are neophytes. Is that proper understanding?
Yeah. Prabhupada was concerned. The Krishna book came out in 1972. So Prabhupada wanted us to know who Krishna is. Because, of course, he's there in the Bhagavatam. But even then, Prabhupada, it was 1972, probably there was hardly anything coming out of the Bhagavatam, just maybe the second canto. So he wanted us to know who is Krishna. So he mercifully gave us the Krishna book. Not only us, he gave the 10th canto to anybody on the street. We were distributing Krishna books and the Nectar of Devotion, which is also, of course, a very high book. Krishna's leelas that are there. Conjugal Rasa is there. So even at the risk of people giving to people who are unqualified, I was like, no, they will get so much benefit. He himself, you could say, took the risk of exposing Krishna, giving Krishna to others who were unqualified. That was Prabhupada's mercy. Because he himself, of course, he translated and commented on through the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, so there was still much more. Prabhupada was absorbed in that Krishna Leela as he left from this world. He was in the Bhagavatam Leela and then entered into the Leela, really, as he left us. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.